Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Welcome.
Hello. We are so happy you're here and you're listening for episode, what are we on now?
117.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
It is fucking crazy.
It is crazy. Like, oh my God. How many episodes will we be at if we consistently posted for a month? We definitely won't be at 200 or anything like that. But like at the end of the year,
Well, there's 52 weeks in a year. So 117 plus, okay.
Oh God, here we go. Trying to do math.
Now it's math. Okay.
How many months are left this year?
nine? Yeah.
We could have a baby.
Oh my God, we could. Just kidding. No.
Just kidding. Unless. No. Just kidding. Yeah.
So wait. Okay. So 52 minus 12 weeks. So that's 40. So 117 plus 40. So that would put us around 156, 157 by the end of the year.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Well, shit. But
we could hit 200 by the end of next year.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
That'll definitely happen.
Oh my God. Thank you to everybody who has listened to 117 episodes of us and plans on listening to 200. Bless you.
Yeah, for real. When I sometimes look and it's just like, I just look up Witchful Thinking online just to see if there's like new reviews. And there was one on like some super obscure third party website that like our RSS feed must like push the show out on, and it was so mean, and it was like our first hate review, and it was like I cracked up reading it because it literally was like, sometimes I think I listen to these two bitches just to piss myself off.
Well, you know what, the hate watch still got us ad cents, so
yeah, thank you for the ad revenue, hater. Keep hating.
That's kind of crazy, though, that we've been doing this for 3 years and we've had, like, one hate comment.
Yeah, for real. I expected, like, I don't know, at least, like, 20 by now.
You know, anybody who posts on social media or has a YouTube channel, or when you put yourself out there, you can't, not everything that comes out of our mouths is going to make everybody happy, so.
Yeah, very true. And let's not forget the one person that was on TikTok and, like, was ripping me an asshole.
Oh,
last year. And then I like confronted her because she was like saying some not nice things, and I was like, I am so sorry that I misspoke in those early episodes. Like, I appreciate you educating me, but this is like not it. Like, we don't bully here. We don't do that. So for anyone who's like new to the show, if we ever say anything that you don't agree with, like, that's totally fine. If we say something that like, this is, I don't foresee this happening, but like, I can't speak for the hundreds of thousands of people who listen to this show. If we ever say anything that offends you or rubs you the wrong way and you just feel really compelled to say something, you can always email us. Just remember, like, we're humans too, and don't be mean, because I will respond, and I
Brooke will respond.
Brooke will respond. That reminds me of the TikTok sound that goes, oh, we're being rude. My fucking turn.
Yeah, Brooke will respond. So
I won't be nasty, but I will let you know you ain't finna talk to me sideways.
Just know it's coming.
It's coming. Anyways, for this episode.
Okay, so we have a topic for this episode, which you can probably guess a little bit of in the title, but We're gonna start off with a little something something that happened to Brooke this morning. Something kind of fucking crazy. Brooke, why don't you set the scene? What were you doing? And then what happened?
I'm gonna be mad dramatic about it too. Okay, story time with Brooke. And while I'm telling the story, I'm gonna be using my extra special bear claw back scratcher. Not a real bear claw, guys. We're vegan. No, we're not, but this is metal. Okay. Okay. So today I was on the phone with my manager, aka Liz, and I's a manager now since we work together. I was on the phone with her. Dear woman, poor thing. I'm on the phone with her. She's talking. All of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye bang into my patio door window. And I'm thinking, like, is some children outside? Are they throwing balls around? I'm thinking, you know, anything but what it actually was. But then all at once, before I walked over there and I was like, hey, Amanda, give me a second. Damned if it wasn't a bird. A starling, to be precise, flew into my window today, smacked itself so hard that it was stunned. And it was just sitting like outside on my welcome mat, looking up at me, and it just kept opening its beak and closing it and then opening it. And I was worried because I was like, oh my God, like he broke his wing, his leg is broken, like something's not right. And
he broke his fucking beak.
He broke his beak, like something's wrong. And because I like, okay, backstory, I have a lot of past like trauma with dying birds. Recently, Victoria saved this little baby bird out of a nest that her cat was trying to kill. Like, this was ages ago. And I was on FaceTime with her trying to keep it alive. And it eventually died. And it was literally so young that it was translucent. Like, it was not supposed to be out of the nest. And there was no way for her to get it back up in the nest or put it anywhere that the mama bird could do anything. I mean, if a bird falls out, I'm pretty sure the mother bird just, like, is like, fuck you, bro, like, you're to your own devices.
I think so.
There was that, and then a year ago, Jackson's sister's cat killed a bird and brought it inside the house, and it was stinking up the place, and I kept saying, something dead is in here. Something in here is dead, gone, rotting, and I lifted up a cardboard box in the corner, and sure enough, dead bird. Also, when I was younger and I had a roommate, she was deathly afraid of birds. She called them vermin with wings, and we lived together. And she one day was like, she called me and I was at work and she's like, I can't come out. Like, I'm calling out of work. And I was like, what's wrong? Are you sick? She said, no, a pigeon has laid eggs on our doorstep. Sure enough, she sends me a picture. There is a gray bird. It was one of those things that, like, you scrape your feet off of, and it has, like, rollers. It's, like, bristly with rollers, and it's supposed to get, like, the mud and shit off your shoes. Yeah. The bird had made its nest there and had, like, five little eggs. She didn't step out a foot outside of the apartment for days. Found out why she's deathly afraid when she grew up in Florida, and she was on the beach. A bird took her sandwich out of her hands. As a wee child, that'll do it to you. That will do it to you.
Yeah, I would hate birds forever too. Took my fucking Sammy.
Took your fucking Sammy? Didn't even ask for a nibble? Like, but anyways, so back to present day. I'm looking down at this starling, and the weird thing was that when this bird, this starling, hit the window, I was watching the movie The Starling on Netflix.
That is fucking crazy.
That is weird. That's mad weird. If you haven't seen that movie, I suggest bringing some tissues with you. It's got Melissa McCarthy in it, so you know it's like kind of funny. But it also has that one dude from Bridesmaids, the Irish dude. He plays her husband. And yeah, so
I have fucking chills thinking about you watching The Starling and a starling busting down your window. And I mean, I grew up in Virginia. Not that those birds aren't around, but that was not a bird that I saw often, you know?
No. I didn't know what kind it was. So I sent a picture to Jackson's mom and I was like, oh my God, like this bird just crashed into the window and like it's just staring at me and opening it. It's beak and I don't know what to do. I know that like in other states it's like way more common for birds to fly into windows. I don't know why, but apparently it's like pretty common in Florida, according to Amanda. But like I haven't had a bird fly into a window in my home since I was like a kid. And I always heard that if a bird hits your window, it means that someone in the house is going to die. That's just like a superstition, I guess. But then like, so I was kind of being, you know, I was a little paranoid and I just looked up, what does it mean when a starling hits your window? And I'm going to look it up again. Someone, why does it say, what does it mean when poop is green?
So, okay. While you're looking up about what it means when a starling hits your window, I looked up. So just specifically, what is the spiritual meaning of a starling? And obviously take this with a grain of salt. This is what Google has to say, but Google says it suggests, when this animal comes into your life, it suggests careful consideration as to whom you spend your time with and how much they influence your thoughts and behavior.
Oh, wow.
So if the meaning of a bird hitting your window is somewhat related to death, maybe it's like the death of a relationship of some kind, a friendship, who, like, you know, or maybe it's the rebirth of one, because, you know, in spirituality, death can mean, I mean, rebirth follows death.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it could also mean the rebirth of a relationship, or I don't know, but that's what Google says about the spiritual meaning of a starling.
That's crazy. It kind of does go in line with what I found for what's it mean when it hits your window. It said a bird hitting your window might be a sign that the trouble in your life has not yet passed. There is no place for the bird to safely land. However, this might mean that change is coming soon. And then this also says, continue to be patient and have faith in God. We don't worship God here. So I'm gonna just forget about that. And then again, it says birds are a symbol of freedom, joy, and hope. It's often said when a bird flies into your window, it will bring you good luck and good fortune. So, yeah,
but a starling.
Yeah, a starling specifically.
While you're watching the starling, what the actual fuck? That's crazy. That's nuts. That almost, I almost don't believe it, but you sent me a picture of the bird.
I mean, guys, I will literally post it on the story, like, when this episode goes up, so you guys can see. I wish I took a video of it, like, opening and closing its mouth, because it really, like, I really was scared for it for a second. I thought that it was, like, because all the stray cats around here, like, he is lucky that no cat showed up, because he would have been dead meat.
And also, I don't know, I was worried when you sent me the pictures of that bird with his mouth just hanging open. I was texting Brooke and I was like, don't go out there. It could be sick. Like, why did it fly in? You know, maybe it's rabid or something.
A rabid bird. Like,
and then I was like, it's a fucking zombie bird. It's on something.
Yeah, I don't know. Seriously.
That shit is fucking weird.
I mean, you never know with animals like that. It's not like, you know, it's not super common for a bird to fly into a window. That's why it's so weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, the weird thing also was in the movie, the starling, the character, Melissa McCarthy's character, is she has a starling problem. I think they can kind of be like an invasive species a little bit. But like someone in the movie kind of like teaches her like the meaning of the starling and like its importance in her life as she's like grieving. So I might have to watch the movie again tonight and just see if it like, if there's a sign there, because that was just super strange. And yeah, it's not every day a bird smacks your window.
Yeah, it's not every day you're watching a movie about a bird that's the same kind of bird that smacks in your window either.
Why couldn't I be watching a movie about weenie dogs and a weenie dog jumps in my door? Like,
I know.
Come on.
Yeah. Please. Wrong animal universe.
Wrong animal. Try again.
Try again, yeah.
God.
Damn. Well, so yeah, that's some crazy shit that Brooke just told me. And she was telling me more and more, and I was like, hold it right there. We have to tell this story on the podcast. It is too crazy not to.
Yeah, sometimes Liz and I have to like stop ourselves from talking about everything we want to talk about before we record, because then we like don't.
I want to have a genuine reaction, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want to just like, there are times where like, yeah, you know, we're going to relive the story, but there are times that I want a fresh reaction on the podcast, you know?
Yeah, I agree. We just get so excited. Sometimes we have to pace ourselves. Can you blame us?
So for the topic of today's episode, I'm sure this will not be new information to a lot of you. For a while, maybe the past couple months, I have seen going around the internet a new study that has been released, and it's about the percentage of men not having sex and how it is very like the numbers are very unusual, and nearly a third of men under the age of 30 have not had sex, and a higher percentage do not have as much sex as they'd like. And this statistic is a sign to me of much deeper problems, along with many other people who have been talking about this on the internet and social media platforms. And I just thought it would be interesting to talk about. I was recently talking about this study with my boyfriend. Just like trying to get a male's perspective. Brooke and I have talked about it, and there are just some things that are lining up here that I think make total sense, and wanted to share those with you guys. And obviously when we make the Instagram post, feel free to comment your own opinions or join the Facebook group and talk about this topic. But we can jump right on into it. And it's why men aren't having sex and why this is an issue for them and what it says about women right now. And also kind of like the big evolutionary change that this has on our future population. So to me, I'm going to like sum it up of what I think is going on here, and then we'll break it down. And mm-hmm. I think the big overarching umbrella is that the men that fall under this statistic, not all of them, but probably a big majority of them, are not evolving. These men are not evolving. And that is the big connection to me after seeing this study and reading the data. And I don't know, I was thinking about it, and like women used to need men for financial stability. It was like one of the exchanges was, oh my God, did you hear my cat?
Yes, yeah, heard that.
That was my cat.
Sniffles.
They're just playing around in the background there. But women used to not be able to have a bank account. Women used to not be able to have credit cards or own land or vote or do all the things. And in order for women to be guaranteed financial stability, we had to get married. And being married, part of that exchange was always making yourself sexually available to your husband. So men who did not deserve sex got it, right? Because they were married and women felt obligated to have sex with their husbands, whether it was to procreate or not. And now women don't need men for financial stability. We can make our own money. We can create our own financial stability. So that exchange that used to be there isn't there anymore. And women see sex now as something we want to get pleasure out of. But also, like, we can be more choosy with our partners who we want to have sex with, whether it's to procreate or not. And we can choose who we want to procreate with or not. So there's like this dynamic of, okay, we now have the option for sex to be about pleasure or procreation or not about procreation. So if sex isn't like pleasurable with someone, like, we don't have to have sex with them. Just because, you know, it's just a very different dynamic than it used to be, where women felt obligated to have sex with a man, but it's probably their husband. And not that that is to say that that doesn't exist and that's totally eradicated, but I guess I'm just talking about probably the majority of the population that doesn't pertain to anymore. So if a man is not up to a woman's standards, she doesn't have to have sex with him, and she doesn't have to procreate with him if he is not up to her level, up to her standards. So I feel like this is potentially all, like, women are making this evolutionary change of the future generations that are to come, because these aren't just children. I mean, this is not 100% of the babies that are being born. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, for the most part, women are now choosing the babies that are going to be on this planet in the future. We also have, I would love to say we all have abortion rights, but we don't. abortions are still possible in certain locations, not in all, unfortunately. But so who are we going to choose to procreate with? Well, me, no one. And that is a decision that I get to make. And for women who do choose to procreate, they're going to choose men who respect them, who see them as equals, who have evolved to not view women as property or something that they're obligated to, all that good stuff, right? So they're going to raise babies with those ideals. And potentially, you know, even one generation from now, there is going to be way more babies who grow up to be adults who respect and love and cherish women and don't see them as property or a sexual object, because women now get to choose who they procreate with. And I just thought that was really interesting. But also, it creates this other dynamic of, like, angry incels, of men who are just even more mad at women and they're just so angry that women won't sleep with them. And that is their entire identity. And I saw a comedy show, I think it was on Netflix, and the comedian's name, I really hope I don't butcher it, it's Eliza Scherzinger, blonde. If you want to look her up, just look up Eliza. Her last name is SHL, and the rest will pop up, because I don't know if I'm saying it right. But I watched that comedy special and she said something that I was like, oh, that's good. That's good. So I wrote it down so that I could share it with you guys, because I thought it kind of like, what, when I was thinking about this topic, her quote came up and I sent, did I send you the video? I think I sent you the video of her saying this quote, just like a little clip. But so her quote is, she's speaking to men right now. She's saying, men, if you are not having sex, and we're not talking a dry spell, we're not talking a little shy, we're talking, if you don't have sex and that is the narrative of your life, and the narrative is that you are not having sex because women are bitches, women are whores, you're a nice guy, you deserve better. That is nature's way of saying you should not be having sex, for you have failed to adapt and evolve, and there should be no more of your kind. And I really liked that, because the thing is she, like, women have the power to eradicate men who won't evolve, because we don't have to have babies with you anymore. Men like that still got to have babies 30 years ago because women couldn't have a fucking bank account. Okay, maybe 40, 50 years ago. Still, okay, my grandma could not have a bank account. When my mom was born, she could not have a bank account. That's fucking nuts. So, oh my God, my cat just ran across the screen.
I didn't even see it.
He moves like the night.
He moves quickly.
Yes. So I, she said that and I was like, oh, that hits deep. Like, if you, and like she said, not talking a dry spell, not talking you're feeling shy or you're taking a break from dating at the, like, you know, there, the ladies listening to this know the types of men we're talking about. The angry incels who make hating women their entire personality because women won't sleep with them. Why won't women sleep with you? Maybe that's a good question to ask. And to me, I think that makes total sense. That is a sign that you should not be procreating. You can't evolve to it. A woman is not interested in raising a child with you for a reason. And if you can't evolve like the rest of us, then you shouldn't get to procreate.
You don't want to pass along your shitty offspring.
Right. And because the kid is going to grow up and potentially be just like you.
Ew.
And, and we're trying to evolve as a society. So I just thought that quote fit in with this perfectly. And maybe this is like a really dramatic take on this study, these stats, but it makes perfect sense to me. Obviously there are many other contributing factors that go into this, but that was just a huge standout thing for me, that like, are men really shocked that we don't want to have sex with a lot of them anymore?
You're shocked?
You're shocked? You're shocked after the way that women have been treated? And it just, I'm like, oh, well, of course statistics are going to show that, because women have the option now. We don't have to have sex with you. We don't have to marry you, you know? And... there's, I heard one more quote that I really liked. I thought it was funny. And I don't, this is just like a quote from somebody on the internet, and I should have written down their name, but I didn't. But this woman said, I can't respect a man who's doing worse at life than me. How the hell are you doing worse in a system that was designed to help you to do better? And you get a head start and you still did worse than me, you fucking bum. Like, so yeah, you know what? Maybe women don't want to have babies with you because you're a fucking bum. And how did you fail in a system that was set up to make you do better? Riddle me that.
Oh, shit.
This is, and now, see, I don't know if I would have been this wound up before I had a little emotional bit before we recorded this, and I had to, like, cry about something to Brooke because I was just having a very emotional day. And I was expressing my anger, and then we started talking about this. But I think it is how, you know, people are going to look at this study, all different types of people, men, women, everybody, theys, thems, everybody with all different kinds of perspectives. And how does anybody look at this study? The numbers are drastic, and think, maybe something is wrong with men. Like, maybe there's a trend here. Maybe we should look at the, analyze the data. What are the trends? And it's just, I thought it was a very interesting study that kind of went viral. And yeah, that's my take on it is that men aren't evolving. Not all men, not saying that, but the men who, maybe a lot of the men that fall into these stats, it sounds like they're not evolving. It sounds like women are choosing not to procreate with you, and you should ask yourself that, not why aren't women fucking me?
So I read through the whole article that was attached with it, and they had quotes from, you know, men of all different ages and backgrounds, and a lot of the men who, well, I don't think there was I don't think they posted a quote from an incel, actually. I did see the mention of incels, for sure. But a lot of the quotes that they had from men were literally just men saying that they were so insecure over their body image, or that they had like a porn addiction, and that they'd, you know, see men on the screen, it looked different than them, and they would get too in their head about it and then self-sabotage because they were scared they'd disappoint their partner. And that also makes me really sad, because I mean, that is the result of social media and, you know, Facetune, Photoshop, the most perfect of the perfect bodies being put in your face. The same, I mean, people think, oh, that's only for women. Only women get upset over that. No.
And oh, like, yeah.
You know, as much as it is people who think they deserve to get laid when they don't, it's also a lot of people's like psychological factors going into it, like just feeling straight up shitty about yourself. And you know, I don't really follow men, to be honest. I think really the only like males that I follow on my like social media are people that I've known since I was a kid and I'm still friends with. And the main reason for that is because there are a lot of times I feel like men have underlying motives, and you know, it's the second you get a boyfriend, if they suddenly seem crappy to you or don't talk to you anymore or whatever, like, you know that they have an underlying motive, because they don't have a chance anymore, and they think they do. They think they deserve that for being your friend. But I have a lot of male friends from my childhood that I watched grow from super like insecure and not good with girls to just complete gentlemen. And the reverse is true too. Like, I've seen people who seemed like they had like charisma and, oh, he's gonna be a heartbreaker, blah, blah, grow up and like can't get a date with a girl for shit, or yeah, a guy. Like, I mean, but this article was only about straight men, actually. It wasn't about gay men at all. It just literally talked about straight men, and I noticed it said across nearly every demographic, regardless of gender or age, people are having sex at historic lows, but it's the sexual realities of the 30-ish younger straight men that causes the most alarm and speculation. So this has not even just happened in the past like 5 years. It's been trending downward since 1989. And I was going to say, like, oh, damn, when you think about like the past 3 or 4 years, like, of course it's gone down. We were in a pandemic. We had to stay inside. People weren't going on dates. People were having Zoom dates. People were not sleeping with randoms for, if they were smart, for a while. And, you know, that type of shit to me is what would explain like this sexless world.
Yeah. But
not, you know, all the way back to the early 90s. But I mean, again, that makes sense because look how far feminism and like female liberation has come since the late 80s and like early 90s. Like,
right.
I mean, that alone shows me why it trends back that far. But it's why are we just noticing now?
Yeah, I totally agree with that category falling under these statistics as well. And it probably comes down to like a lack of human connection and relationships, because since the 90s, since cell phones came out and the age of the internet, you know, now meeting people the quote unquote old fashioned way is really difficult. Like, it almost feels like the only way to meet people is on apps or at work. Like, well, how else would you meet people? And this, you know, having a lot of our relationships on the internet, there's a lack of in-person human connection that you may get, or it's really easy to isolate yourself on the internet and think that, oh, like, yeah, I have friends. And not to down any or dog any online friendships or relationships, because those can be really great too. Obviously, Brooke and I met in person, but a lot of our relationship is on the internet now because we live on different sides of the country. So not to say that an internet relationship is not quality by any means, but just a lack of human connection can, I think a lack of human connection at one point was just something that played a huge role in my depression, was just not feeling connected to anybody. And during the pandemic, that got so much worse. Nobody could see anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all got really creative. We were doing Zoom dates and things like that. But it's different, you know, it doesn't feel the exact same, but it's interesting to hear all of these factors that have been playing into a downward trend of young people having less sex. And that does include women, but this study was particular for young men under 30. I think it was like age 20 to 30, something like that, maybe 19 to 30. 18 to 30. And yeah, it's a very interesting set of information, because it shows you the happiness level of this age group of people and a peek into that, but also, you know, how many years in a row, probably since the pandemic, have we seen articles about birth rates are so low and millennials aren't going to have anybody to take care of them when they're older and all this stuff. This information, while it's not the total cause of low birth rates, definitely plays into low birth rates, because the amount of people who are having babies from age 20 to 30 has dropped significantly over the past 5 years.
Oh my God, I don't know if you can hear that, but it's somebody every night around this time just guns it down the street, like just like wants everyone just to hear like how big their dick is, I guess, with the all right, NASCAR. Anyways, God, what was I gonna say? Oh, two things I was gonna say. One, I also think that a lot of the decline in interest to like have sex with your partner in the past decade or so is probably because there are so many things that people want to do when they get home from work or finish working for the day that just involve zoning out. They don't have the mental energy to like be present for something like that. Like you got social media, you want to watch Netflix, you want to read, you want to play games, you know, whatever. And I feel like that takes precedence for a lot of people, which is where you end up in the space of like finding yourself Googling, how do I make myself interested again? How do I, you know? A lot of people are on antidepressants, which that can seriously affect your libido and your, you know, just interest in being affectionate at all. And also, completely unrelated to that, I feel like we are this the past like 5 or so years, the whole dynamic of people, not just women, but people in general, deciding like, I don't want to settle for hookups. If I don't have a connection with someone, I don't want anything to do with it. And is it gonna feel lonely sometimes? Yeah. But it's not, I don't feel good about myself afterwards. And obviously we're not saying anything like, oh, hooking up is bad. Like, absolutely not. This is just like a phenomenon that I've definitely noticed. Like the whole like chosen celibacy thing on TikTok, especially. I've seen videos of girls being like, it's been, you know, a year and 3 months since I was intimate with another person. I've learned so much about myself. I, you know, feel so much better, blah, blah, blah. That also plays into it, you know, because you're making that choice as an adult. I feel like it's different from when you're a teenager and your parents are like making you practice abstinence. Like as an adult, you're choosing that for yourself, and everyone does it for different reasons. I feel like if I wasn't obviously in like a happy relationship, I would probably be doing the same because I'm just at that point in my life where I know I don't need anyone for that. Like I feel like if I was single, I would absolutely practice that until I met someone I really cared about.
Yeah, I agree. There are so many things that are playing into this statistic on a man's side and from a woman's side. And there's probably a lot more people our age who are in their 20s or 30s and who are choosing these things, whereas maybe like to stay celibate, which I think it's interesting that you brought up chosen celibacy, because what we've now talked about in this one episode, chosen celibacy and incels, which is involuntary celibacy. And those are two very, very different things, but they're both playing into this statistic, right? People who are choosing to be celibate, and then people who are not choosing to be celibate but are. And yeah, I think a lot of us just crave, we're with all of the shit, you know, that we have gone through in our lifetimes, one big lifetime event after another. We're so used to it now. We're so what is it called? when something desensitized, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're so desensitized to a lot of these big life altering events that are happening to all of us at the same time. That, and with the age of the internet, a lot of us just crave a genuine connection with somebody. And if you're single, whether you're a man or a woman, maybe that means, yeah, you don't want to participate in hookup culture. And I don't know if this study, I like have it pulled up right now. I don't know that this study is men who are not having sex, but don't want it. Like who aren't looking for it.
Yeah, it definitely seems more like they're looking for it and just aren't good with girls or aren't good with other men or, you know, just struggle right. with their, you know, confidence.
But insecurity is a huge thing. And I think you're right that for the longest time, it's felt like that social media affects women the most, or it felt like it only affected women for a while where, you know, women we're used to body types being a trend. We are used to being influenced to buy so much makeup, you can't ever wear it. and companies playing off of our insecurities to make a buck. And that affects us all a lot. But yeah, we don't really hear about men talking about these are the things from society that have made me feel insecure. And I think it's a really great doorway into hopefully men opening up and talking about these things with each other and with women. Like, you know, how are we going to know what we don't know? And I talk with my boyfriend all the time about this shit makes me feel bad about myself. So I deleted the app because I see these things and I'm a grown ass woman. And I know that when I see things that are supposed to be trendy, like a body type, which is not supposed to be trendy, but it is, that I'm not supposed to take that to heart, but I do. We all do. It's really hard not to. And every single image you see of an influencer or not even an influencer, and it's retouched. We all know they're retouched. Like we retouch our photos, but it's still when you see it, even though you know all these things, your brain still plays these cruel little games with you and you still end up feeling bad about whatever it is. So it's no surprise that if porn can make women feel insecure about themselves, that it can do the same for a man. It's just that we haven't heard that dialogue with them. And I don't know if that dialogue goes on between them. Maybe, I mean, does it? I don't know. Like when guys are hanging out, are they talking about that shit? I don't know.
I feel like most guys don't like to admit to their guy friends when they're feeling insecure because of the whole like masculinity thing and not wanting to seem weak and don't be a girl, dude, like that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if anything, this study, you know, I went off a little in the beginning because I have a theory about this, but if anything, this study just shows us a little bit more into the windows in the lives of young people and how many people are unhappy with their lives. Because, I mean, you can assume if these people aren't happy with their sex life, they're probably not happy in many other areas of their life.
Yeah.
Not that sex equals happiness by any means, but, yeah, we're like our generation is like struggling with happiness. How are we supposed to be happy in a world where we're getting slapped back to back with life-changing events, where there's so much negativity, it's so expensive to live. I'm surprised they're not charging us to breathe the air at this point.
For real.
you know, what is that? What, the Lorax? Is that where they have to buy air?
Did I don't know. That? I never watched it.
I think it's the Lorax where they chop down all the trees and they build a giant bubble over the city and they make people pay for clean air.
Fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's, and why, I kind of thought about this the other day. I was like, why does it almost feel like my life's purpose? One of my life's purpose is just to figure out how to be happy. Because we have been plagued with so much unhappiness that my goal in life is just to be happy. And that, unfortunately, is something that not a lot of people experience. Like, have you seen those videos of guys walking up and down the streets with a microphone and they'll just walk up to somebody and go, "Are you happy?" And that's it. And people say yes or no. And so, like, so there are so few people that say yes. And there
imagine
are so-
asking someone that and they say no and you say good talk and you just walk away and you don't ask them why they're unhappy.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's like, how much time you got, man? Like,
yeah, seriously.
And then COVID really just like fucked that up even more. And you know, life on the internet, the food we consume is so bad for us nowadays. Like, is there anything that we can put in our body that's not linked to cancer anymore? No.
Nope.
No. And yeah, and then a lot of us are on antidepressants because we're trying to be happy. And that affects your libido, like you said. And the amount of women who are on hormonal birth control for decades. I was on hormonal birth control for a decade, and I only in the past couple months had that removed and got an alternative version that is not hormonal. But like, that affects our libido too. That affects everything. There's so many factors that come into this study. And it's really interesting to just read it and think about all of the things that play a factor in this. So this episode was not Liz bashing men entirely. I was bashing some men, not all men. Oh my God. Do you remember that comeback? Was it from the Me Too movement? And guys would be like, well, not all men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean that in this circumstance, not all men, but
enough of them.
Enough of them that
it's a problem.
It's a problem. And so we just wanted to talk about this study because I'm sure a lot of you guys are on the same algorithmic path as we are, and you've probably seen this study. And I think it's just very interesting information.
I agree. I really enjoy articles like that and linking, you know, A plus B equals C. And if this happened 5 years ago, now this is happening as a direct result. It's just really interesting to me. And I think, you know, this is totally unrelated to having sex, but think about like, just from 3 years ago when the pandemic started, how much sales have dropped in so many different industries. Like, I can't remember the last time that I bought anything more than like new mascara. Like, people like stopped buying like business clothes for a long time. Everybody was just buying like comfy clothes for work or like something comfortable that's appropriate to wear on Zoom. It's just so interesting that part of history, I guess, is interesting to me. And I am almost envious of people who are going to be like in school when we are 70, because they're going to be reading about the weird shit that we lived through and, you know, all of the different things that happened in 2022, 2023. We're probably going to be keep feeling the effects of COVID till 2035. Let's be honest.
It'll be really interesting. It would be interesting to know what is in a history textbook when we're like 75. What are the stats that they're going to bring up? Obviously, in a high school history book, they're probably not going to put the stat of young men not having sex. This has been staggering and like going down on the downtrend since 1989, like you said. Mm-hmm. But 2020 is when I think things started climbing faster. It looks like in like 2008, 2009, around the housing market crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So around like another crisis, right? And then it really just fucking took off in 2020. Yeah. And, you know, I guess like other topics around this is when you listen to people who try to say, well, how can we fix this? How can we... the answer is happiness. You know, the answer is people are not currently happy and nobody's motivated to have sex when your life is fucked up. And obviously it doesn't matter for the first category of men that I talked about because they're just not evolving. But it's interesting to hear people say, how do we fix men not having sex? Like, that is just a weird ass conversation.
How do we fix it? They need it. Their brains aren't firing on all cylinders. They need it. We must fix it. Y'all broke it. Y'all fix it. Not my problem.
Not my circus.
Not my monkeys, not my circus.
Oh, did I say that backwards? Not my monkeys, not my circus.
Yeah, I said not my problem. Not my problem, not my circus.
Well, I said not my circus, not my monkeys, because I was like, yes, I finally have like this saying right. No, I said it backwards.
I think we have one every episode where you say one and I'm like, no, it's actually.
I don't know what that is. That's, I wonder if that's like, I have like phrase dyslexia, you know, like I don't have dyslexia with like
you have phrase-lexia.
I have phrase-lexia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. I don't know what that's about.
That's okay. We love you the way you are.
You know what? Either you know what I'm talking about or the listeners know what I'm talking about, because mm-hmm. whenever I can't think of something and you don't think of it either, you guys will comment it on our Instagram post. And so if Brooke can't figure it out, you guys usually figure it out.
Yeah. You've got, between me and everyone else, you've got like 100,000 brains, dude.
I know.
Good. Good.
So I don't know. Hopefully we didn't like come in super hot with this. And by that, I mean me with a little bit of an aggressive take, but I just like, I have some opinions about it and had to share them.
You feel passionate about it? You speak on it, sister.
Yeah.
Get up on that soapbox.
I get up on my soapbox. So.
If you listened all the way through this episode, go and comment any man emoji.
Wait. No, it should be, well.
Should be an eggplant? No.
Is there like a, I feel like there's a million different.
Is there like a gender, like a genderless icon? Do we have that? I don't think we have a genderless icon. I mean, emoji. I don't think so. I'm looking through all the emojis. Doesn't look like, damn, Apple, be more inclusive.
Okay, how about we do the emoji? It is, it does appear to be kind of genderless, but if you type in mustache into the emoji search box, it's like a little, like a normal little emoji guy with glasses, eyebrows, and a mustache. You see it?
Go put mustache man emoji in the comments
Yes,
on the
go
new
put
post.
mustache man in the comments. And let us know if you agree with our hot takes, if you think I have just gone off the rails. just let us know what you think because we think this is like pretty interesting and had to talk about it at least once.
Yeah, we had to talk about it at least once. We can't let a good article or TikTok with a good point pass us by.
That's great.
But until next Wednesday, witches, I don't know what I was going with that sentence. I said, and started my sentence with the second half of a sentence. I don't know. Until next Wednesday, witches, stay sexual. I don't know. Okay.
My God, bye.
Jenna Marbles, move over.
Thank you.